You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, we've been talking about enemies of one. Just say it with me. Enemies. Enemies of one. What is one? One is oneness. We're talking about this prayer, this famous prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17:21. He said, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. This was one of the most famous prayers that Jesus prayed. And I believe the Word of God says that He's seated on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And right now, I believe this is one of the prayers He's still praying for us as the body of Christ, that we would be one, that brothers and sisters would be one. But what are the things that get in the way of this oneness? What are these things that get in the way of that prayer that Jesus made, that we would be one, that we would be unified, just like God, just like Jesus, just like the Holy Spirit? So I want to talk to you specifically today about when love grows cold. When love grows cold. And Jesus was telling us in Matthew 24:12 that in the last days that sin will be rampant everywhere and that the love of many will grow cold. And I want to tell you today, if you'll hear me, we're living in the last days. Many of the problems that we see in our world, that we see in the church, that we see in families, is the product of love growing cold. Now, I just want to take us in and read the whole thing that Jesus was saying here from verse 4. Matthew 24:4 says, Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Does that sound familiar yet? But all this is just the first of the birth pangs, and more will come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Did you know that this is one of the highest times of persecution of Christianity in history? We sometimes don't know that because we live in America. And we have a different type of persecution here. And many will turn away from me, Jesus says, and betray and hate each other. Isn't that interesting how Jesus connects, they will turn away from me, and then they will start to betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So an incredible enemy of oneness is when love grows cold. In the last days, we know that it is happening, that love is growing cold. And what's interesting is how Jesus frames this to help us understand how important love is and the magnitude of love growing cold. He said there's going to be wars, there's going to be famines, there's going to be earthquakes, and love is going to grow cold. Right in the same teaching, right in the same breath, Jesus is saying, this is how important love is. When love evaporates in a society, what is left? We wonder why there's so much hate today. It's because love has grown cold. It's dangerous when love grows cold. Even as believers, we have to guard ourselves against love growing cold. And when we see our love getting a little cold, we have to hold ourselves accountable. We got to take an audit of our life and say, I need to make sure I get this love back happening in my heart. I need to stir up that fire of love. What should a loving community look like when the love is not cold? What should a home look like when the love is not cold? What should the church look like when the love is not cold? What should our nation look like when the love is not cold? You can turn on the TV, you can turn on social media, and you can see immediately, it's undeniable, love has grown cold. Divisions emerge and take the predominant role and become center focus when love is cold. It says that many will turn away from me, and a product of that turning away from me will cause them to betray and hate each other. You know, it's hard to really, really love each other when we turn away from God, because God is the author of love. He teaches us how to love. He is the one that defines love. He helps us understand love. He pours love into us so we can pour it into others. So when we turn away from Him, when we walk away from Him, we find ourselves growing cold. Maybe not overnight, but over time. Because we can't even understand love without understanding God. And if you don't have God in your life, then it's difficult for you, if not impossible, to have love, true love. In the last days, we are seeing some interesting things. People in the world calling love hate and calling hate love. I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it. And it's to be expected because the world doesn't understand how to define love. Because they didn't create love. And without a relationship with love, you can't express love. You can try to create something that looks similar to love with some of the trappings of love, but you can't have true love without relationship to love. If God is love, you have to have relationship with God to have love. And the thing is also, the world didn't create hate, so the world can't define hate for you either. I hear people on platforms and on their pedestals and on their soapboxes trying to tell the world what hate is. Culture is trying to say this is hate or that is hate or the church is hate or Christians are hating. When are you really equipped to define hate? Because you didn't create hate. You may be operating in hate, but the enemy, the devil, the enemy of your soul created hate, and he sows it into people's lives and causes people to think love is hate and hate is love. Some people are using some of the biggest platforms talking about acceptance as love, but at the same time spewing hate. Can I tell you that love is not acceptance? I can love you and disagree with you. I can have a completely different worldview and still love you with the love of Jesus. You see, I'm not going to let someone else define what love is to me, because you didn't write the book on love. But I've read the book on love, and I have a pretty good idea of what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love isn't prideful, doesn't boast itself. And so the world sometimes is just at a loss for what love really looks like. And so I refuse to let someone else define to me what love is. God defines love because God is love. Everything else is opinion. I can appreciate your opinion. I can appreciate where you're coming from. I can even try to understand it, but I don't have to agree with it. I can love you and not agree with you. 1 John 4:10 says this: this is real love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent us his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So when we were messed up, when we were doing the wrong thing, when we were doomed to our own undoing and unraveling, God loved us and God sent Jesus. It says that God loved us first. When we did not understand love, we could not perceive love, we could not wrap our head around love. God first loved us and sent Jesus. So we need Jesus to understand love. But that's the key though. God loved us first. And we have to have that same type of love that we love first. I don't have to wait for you to love me. You might be hating me right now, but I'm going to love you first. I know you're laughing. I know most people in the room love me. I know that. But people in the world sometimes aren't going to agree with you. Some people are not going to like you. And yes, some are going to even hate you. And that's okay, because God shows us the example that he loved us first. When we were unlovable, when we were doing things against God, it said he loved us first. So if we're following in the example of God, if we're going to be Christians, Christ-like, we've got to love before we're even loved. We got to love while we're being hated. That's true love. You see, if you listen to society, society will tell you it's okay to hate somebody when they hate you first. The Bible tells us instead, turn the other cheek. The Bible tells us the example that God set for us and Jesus set for us was he died on the cross when we still hated him. Some believed in him, some loved him, some supported him, but most at that point did not know him, did not appreciate him, and some didn't like him, and some hated him. True love loves first. What does it look like when love grows cold? When love grows cold, you know, you not only stop praying for someone, you stop trying to even understand where they're coming from. Have you seen this? I've seen it. So when somebody... when the love starts to grow cold, not only are they not taken to their knees, they've stopped really worrying about trying to even understand that other person's position. See, I don't got to agree with you, but the love inside of me wants to make me try to understand at least where you're coming from. So maybe I can meet you halfway, or I could help change your mind, or I could somehow form some type of bond or restoration, or something could happen. Besides division, some type of bridge can be built. Love wants to build a bridge to help us come together. Or maybe you're on an island and you're separated from God's love. I want to build a bridge so that even though maybe right now you see things very different than me, we can come together. So love wants to get on its knees to pray for somebody else, even if it's just to pray for understanding. Love is understanding. Love is trying to understand. Love is praying for understanding. Because when I understand you better, I can be better unified with you. You can't be in unity with somebody you don't understand. First, you got to pray for love to be stirred up in your heart. Then you got to pray that God in love help you understand at least somewhat of where that person's coming from. I want to see things through the eyes of love. We need to see people through the eyes of love. When we look at Jesus, Jesus demonstrates a deep compassion and understanding for people that flows from an immense love. Jesus was overflowing with love. That love, many times, it was in the form of compassion, and the compassion generated miracles. Love is powerful. Love is the thing that is the foundation of everything that we believe and understand about God. Love, when you start to grow cold in love, you start to lose your footing. Love. We live in a world that does not understand love. does not understand hate, does not understand how to define those things. Sometimes the world will define to us that love is a fuzzy feeling. It's a feel good, that it's got to feel right. Can I tell you, it didn't feel good when Jesus was on the cross? Love doesn't always feel good. Sometimes love is a sacrifice. Sometimes love is a tough love. Sometimes love will bring you to difficult conversations. Love. Love doesn't always agree. I was sitting around talking to the men on Wednesday night, and I was saying, you know, actually Jesus did not preach agreeing with everybody and acceptance. Society is preaching acceptance, and if you love me, you'll agree with me, and if you love me, you'll accept me. That's the last thing Jesus did. Actually, Jesus said, I'm dying on the cross to change you. And he came and he challenged the thought processes, the ideologies. He challenged the thought processes that they had. Inside the church, outside the church, he was in sharp contrast and disagreed. But he disagreed in such a spirit of love. I love you so much, I want to tell you the truth. I love you so much, I'm not just going to keep quiet about what's true and what's not true. So in a spirit of love, I'm going to disagree. Amen. When did we lose the right to disagree? You don't have to agree with somebody to love them. I can love you without agreeing with you on everything. You know, even in the church, we're not always going to agree on the strategies to help people or to reach the lost. But we still got to be able to work together. Churches and other churches got to be able to work together. Even though they don't agree on every single thing. If we can agree on Jesus, amen, and on Matthew 28, that people need to hear the word of God and they need to be discipled, then maybe God wants us to be working together and not fighting each other and praying for understanding and praying for how we can be unified and how the Father can make us one. Don't let the world define things for you, because there's many things the world does not understand, including love. What is the answer to all this hate and misunderstanding of love? The answer is the love of God. There's no truer love. There's no greater love. And I refuse to accept any false version of love. The world didn't create love, so they're not in a position to define it. Not for me, not for you, not for anybody. If you think about it, we live in a world that everybody has a truth. We've taken the Bible off the table as an authority. And so you're telling me that this is love, but by whose authority? Are you telling me that that's love? Because now you don't espouse the Bible, but what do you espouse that gives you the authority to tell me what love is? Is it your ideas, just the ideas floating around in your head? Because there's other people that got ideas floating around in their head. Are they right too? Some of those people are in jail because of the ideas in their head. Ephesians 6:12. And I think this is what we got to remember. This is why we have to love people so hard. Because there's other forces at work. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." You see, these are the forces that are at work against people that want there to be division, want there to not be oneness, want there not to be unity, and want there not to be love. When true love has grown cold, we become susceptible to hate. I want you to think about this for a minute. When our life is devoid of the love of God, what are we susceptible to? Hate. And it doesn't matter if you redefine it as something else, it's still hate. Some of the biggest platforms, some of the biggest people in our culture are spewing hate and telling us that it's love. But you can't be dogmatic like that. If that's your worldview, you can't demand that everybody have the same worldview as you. In the kingdom of God, and even in Christianity, we have the right to accept Jesus or not to accept Jesus. We don't go around telling everybody, you have to accept Jesus. We want you to accept Jesus. It would be awesome if you accepted Jesus. It's in your best interest that you accept Jesus. But I'm not going to spew hate or say that what you're doing is hate towards me if you don't accept Jesus. So we have to be aware of the forces at work that are pushing and pulling people. God died for the world, for every person. Every person. Because he understands that they are in a gridlock, in a push and pull, in a tug of war of spirits. You got God dispatching angels to bless people, to soften the heart of man, to bring peace, to bring his peace into their life. You got the enemy sending all types of spirits into people's lives to cause them to be depressed. Cause them to be sad. Cause them to be violent. Cause them to be divided. Cause the love to grow cold in their lives. And so, for God so loved the world, and he saw the plight of man, that he sent his son so that there could be an answer to this. To explain, to show, to exemplify love. Why is there so much division in our nation? Because love has grown cold. Not overnight, but over time. As a nation, we have drifted from God, the source of love. And without the source, it's like earth without a sun. It's gonna grow cold. Without love, we cannot be one nation. Right? One nation. What was the kind of thing together with that? Under God. As long as we're under God, we could be one nation. We could know unity if we have God in the mix. Without love, we quickly become victims and vessels of hate. Victims and vessels of hate. You know, when love grows cold, we not only get closer to hate, we attract the same. You see, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love can turn hate, can change the heart of man. Perfect love is a weapon of mass destruction against hate. If you want to destroy hate in our world, if you want to destroy hate around you, if you want to destroy hate in your workplace, start releasing love. Let me tell you something. Those things cannot coexist. One has to eventually bow to the other. We need that strength, that tenacity that the early church had. That in the face of persecution, in the face of oppression, in the face of a corrupt government, in the face of racism, because there was racism in that day, they released love and it changed not just a nation, an empire. And it became the dominant religion of the world. Why? Because love was released in spite of everything. What's the problem over here? Oppression? Release love. What's the problem over here? Racism? Release love. What's the problem over here? Corrupt government? Here's the answer. Release love. Love is a weapon of mass destruction against hate, against injustice. Love. So when you think about getting even, when the thought pops in your head of trying to do it in your own way, instead, go back and release love. Because love has the power to change. There is no greater force in all the universe than love. God is looking for a people that will release love. Oh, man. I love you. I love you. I love you. Regardless of if you like me or not, I still love you. Because the world didn't give this love that I got, and the world can't take it away. I got some love here that God gave me, and I am able to dispense that love to change my circumstance and to change the circumstance for others. That's the power of love. So turn to somebody and say, warm up that love. We got to be honest. Sometimes we, you know, we're not operating in the love. We're not walking in the fullness of the love that God wants us to. But how do we get that love warmed up? How do we supercharge this weapon that's living inside of us? How do we make sure that the love of God is at optimal performance in our spiritual walk? I call it the proximity effect. The closer I get to God, the more love He stirs in me. Because the Word of God says He is, our God is a consuming fire. Let me tell you something. When you get close to God, when you experience the proximity effect, He begins to burn up everything that's not love inside of you until all that remains is something that's related to love. The proximity effect, the closer I get to God, don't get religious on me. Oh, I got God. I accepted Jesus. Don't do that. Come on. I'm the pastor and God just messed me up in the middle of worship. So look, don't get religious. Don't get religious. God will mess you up and make you be crying when you're supposed to be talking or singing. The closer I get to God, come on, nobody in this place has arrived. Nobody in this place, you're saying, oh, I'm at the full expression of Jesus right now. I got the full thing right now going on. No. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to God, He burns up everything standing in the way of love until His love is on fire. It's red hot. You know, sometimes when the Miami Heat's playing and everybody's got to wear the red hot or the white hot, that's what God does to us. The closer we get to Him, proximity effect, the more His love grows inside of us. He teaches us, He inspires us, He endues us with love. The more I press into Him, the more He presses out every false idea about love and presses me to a greater compassion for those around me. My goodness, compassion. When somebody gets nasty with me, you know what I have for them? Compassion. Because I say, man, what must be going on in their life that they got to get nasty like that? What pain are they experiencing? And who has dumped on them that they have that kind of hurt and that kind of offense in their life and growing in their heart that they would say a thing like that to me? I want to pray for them. I want to love them. I want to have compassion in my heart. Compassion causes miracles. Love changes people. But an eye for an eye, that's just old school. That's not going to do anything for you. It might feel good, but love is not a feeling, right? Jesus had such love coming from Him and through Him. He died on the cross, not just to save you and me, not just to save incredible believers across the world. He died also for the mites and the maybes. The one that maybe, if the conditions were right, if everything was working out optimally, they might receive the salvation that Jesus has given. God didn't just die for you and me. He died for the mights and the maybes. His love was an overflowing, immense love that is still available to us. When Jesus hung on that cross, he was thinking about everyone and anyone who might even eventually listen to the possibility of allowing his love to be in their heart. That's the type of love we've got to have. That's the type of love we have to know intimately. Love goes the extra mile for the mights and the maybes. Love sows a seed in someone that they may never see the harvest of. They may not ever be able to reciprocate. You know, the greatest seeds that we plant are in people that can never, ever return the favor to us. Those are the greatest seeds of love. And sometimes we sow a seed of love in someone that may never come to our church, that may never open a door for us. But maybe if I plant a seed of love, maybe somebody else that is in tune with God is going to water that seed and God will cause the increase. Because that's what the Bible says. One plants, another waters, but it's always God that brings the increase. Can I tell you, there's always an increase with love. There's always an increase with love. And so when we get out there, we got to be like farmers scattering seed. Some may take, some may not take, some may look like they're going to take and then they don't take, and some may, they get the thing taken from them. But I'm always sowing love because I know that love never fails. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't boast. Love isn't prideful. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love doesn't have a file cabinet. Love doesn't have a book bag we carry around just in case I need it on quick release. I got you in my life, but I got you on a short leash, so I got a couple of things in my pocket up my sleeve I might have to pull out just in case. Love is not vengeful. Can we go the extra mile for the mites and the maybes? Go the extra mile for those that are in our church, in our world, in our family, but also those that God brings into our path. The love of Christ goes to the furthest reaches of hope to bring people to salvation. So what can we be unified on? Because I know we don't always agree on everything, but what can we be agreed on? What can we be unified on? What could be our point of unity? The mission of love. We might not always agree on the tactics or the strategies or certain things, but if we can be unified on the mission of love to touch this city, to touch people and build people up that are believers, and to touch the ones that are far from Christ. The mission of love is what unites us. And the more we focus on the mission of love, the less we fight with each other. Amen. The less we got time to talk about each other. The less we find something to argue about. Because we're letting God stir up love. And this mission is our point of unification. Love literally keeps us alive. I don't know why I had that song kind of playing in the back of my mind. I'm not going to sing it for you today. Thank you. But love will keep your spiritual life. Love will keep my spiritual life. Love will keep our spiritual unity alive. It's love. Cannot have unity without love. You need love. All you need is love. I don't just like it. I don't just admire it. I have to have the love of Christ to fulfill the purpose that he's given me. If I want to possess the promise that God has for me in my life, I'm going to have so much love that I'm overflowing. Because where there is love, there is power. There is power to transform me first. I'm transforming myself first with the love of God. Then I'm transforming others. Transforming me first, right? I get the speck out of my own eyes, right? Or the beam out of my own eyes. And then I'm at a place where I can love on others. I can share the love of Jesus with others. Love keeps us alive. I don't just like it. I don't just admire it. I don't just think it's a good idea. I have to have it. Look at somebody and say, I've got to have it. And we've got to have it in greater and in growing proportions. If you want to go from glory to glory, if you want to go from one level to another level, if you want to go to the next place that God has for you, guess what you're going to need more of? Love. You need love. We all need more love so that we can release what? More love. I have to have the love of Christ to sustain this unity with brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to have an overwhelming sense of love. We need a passion for love. We need an uncompromising zeal for love. You want to know what keeps division out of the church? Love. Love. Ooh. Love that's overflowing. Love that just, it keeps no records of wrongs. The love that turns the other cheek. The love that says, hey, come hell or high water, we're going to accomplish what God has given us to accomplish, because the mission and the people are more important than the offense. And I'm going to let that offense go, and I'm going to pick up more love, because I can't carry as much love when I'm carrying some offense. John 15:13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, we need to be like Jesus in this. We need to lay down our lives for each other. That's red hot love right there. That's love. When we lay down our life, when we put ourselves second so someone else can be first, that's love. The world tries to define love and celebrate holidays about love. This is love. Putting someone else first, laying down. There's no greater love, John says. Jesus says, there's no greater love than this, than to put yourself second, to lay your life down and say, man, this is what my love is saying right now. I want to be like Jesus. I want to put myself second, put someone else first, and show that love. If we don't have love, true love, we're going nowhere in a hurry. We could be going through motions, doing things that look good, that sound good, good sermons, but if they don't have love, there's no power of transformation inside of them. Could be good music, fancy music, nice music. Music make you want to dance. You can feel it. Hallelujah. But if it doesn't have love in it, it makes no lasting impact. If there's no love in the music, you walk out of here and you lost it just as soon as you walked out the front doors. Let us love. Love is what accomplishes something. Love in the face of hate. Love in the face of misunderstanding. Let us love. I'll close us with this. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Man, let me tell you something that's deep. At the end of my life, I want to gain something. I want it to be said that when an account, and I stand before God, an account for my life, that I gained something, that I did something. And the only way that that happens is through the power of love. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing here today. Not just the sermon, but the worship and what we experienced earlier. God, I thank you, Lord. It's your love that we need more of. We need more of your love so that we can accomplish more. God, your love makes us want to understand each other. Makes us want to pray for one another. Makes us want to turn the other cheek. Your love causes us to transform and be transformed. Maybe today you're saying, you know what? I need more love. Maybe my love, just maybe, has grown a little bit cold. But I want to take an account. I want to take a look at my heart today, and I want to stir up the love that only God gives. Only God can stir up and give me the amount that I need to love on family members, to love on coworkers, to love on people in my life, to love on people that are brought into my life. If that's you, you say, I feel like my love has grown a little cold. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are today. Amen. 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 I want more love. That's what I want. Love completely reverses hate. Love transformed the heart of man. The root of every problem that we're seeing in the world today, if more love of God were applied, how would that transform that? Let it transform us first. If you lift up your hand, I'm going to pray for you right now. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that is here, that has raised their hand, that has raised their heart today. God, I thank you that you would stir your love in them. God, I thank you, Father, that sometimes, God, even the best of us, we miss the mark. Sometimes even the best of us, we drift off. But God, I thank you that you would stir and refresh your love in each and every one of our hearts, God. I thank you, Lord, that you can do what no man can do. You can take away hurt. You can take away offense. You can take away the pain of our past, and you can replace it with love. You can replace it with love. You can give us a fresh start. You know exactly what we have need of. And God, the first thing we need is that love. So I pray for God, the immense overflow of love. God, I pray for each and every brother and sister. Lord, there's things we need to do. There's places we need to go. There's family we need to touch. There's coworkers and friends. God, we need more love. I pray for a rich inheritance of love and an overflow in this season in Jesus' name. And maybe you're today, as heads are bowed, you're saying, Pastor, I feel like I need to recommit my life to Jesus because I feel like I've drifted off a little bit, but I know God is calling me back. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Amen. 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 I see it. I see it. God wants to bring you closer. God wants to bring you closer. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. And everybody, you can say this prayer with us. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and showing me what true love is. I ask you today, give me that love. Stir up that love in me. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. I receive it. I want you to save me, and I want you to lead me. Teach me how to walk this walk. Teach me how to live this life. Put people around me that will help me walk this out. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.